So what is your favorite holiday movie or TV show? Did you know that there is an assessment you can get online tonight when you get home, which I'm sure you'll all do? There's an online assessment that determines your personality type based on your answer to your favorite holiday movie or TV show. So are you an I'm dreaming of a white Christmas type of person? Are you a Chevy Chase Christmas Vacation type of person? What about Jim Carrey, the Grinch that stole Christmas? What about Scrooge? Anyone a Scrooge in here? You're not going to admit to it, are you? My all-time favorite Christmas special is A Charlie Brown Christmas. And did you know that there is a personality type assessment based on four of the characters? The Lucy type is the DISC assessment. Some of you have heard of it. So the Lucy type is D, dominant, direct, and determined. Sally Brown is interested in people and interactive. Charlie Brown is sensitive and supportive. Linus is cautious and consistent. And there's even yet another assessment that analyzes your personality based on which character you'd choose to be in the dance scene in that Charlie Brown special. Do you remember the dance scene? You know, Charlie Brown is trying to corral everybody and have a serious rehearsal, and they all get on the stage and they just go wild and crazy. Would you be more like Linus, whose dance moves look sort of like this? Or what about the girl with the red hair who does the mashed potato? Remember her? Or what about Schroeder, who is completely oblivious to everything around him and focuses only on the music? Earlier this evening, we held our Christmas pageant. And there were a whole lot of people up here, a whole lot of kids involved in the Christmas story. And according to Luke, this gospel reading that you just heard, there were a lot of people who were a part of the story that first Christmas night. The Roman Emperor, Augustus. The governor, Quirinius, Mary, Joseph, the innkeeper, the shepherds, the angels. And Matthew's gospel throws in Herod, who was the notorious king of Judea. And then there's that group of traveling astronomy professors from somewhere in the Far East. We call them the Three Kings, but there could have been more. They were wise people. It's quite an assortment of people when you think about it. I mean, you've got emperors, you've got a king, you've got a peasant couple, and a contingent of low-wage-earning farmhands. And then you have this innkeeper who's just minding his own. The innkeeper's not even mentioned in the story, but we've kind of put him in as a character. He's just minding his own business, and he gets caught up in the story, whether he intends to or not. So where do you see yourself in the story of Christmas? What character most resonates with where you are tonight in your life and in your own spiritual journey? If I had a place in the story, I would like to think that I would be there with Mary and Joseph to help them celebrate the birth, you know, to give them some diapers. To sit with Joseph. Or maybe I would be a kind neighbor who brought over a Starbucks coffee and some chocolate chip cookies. I'd even settle for a place as one of the shepherds working in the field, because those shepherds, who were mostly despised by the people of that time, they got to see the glory of God. They got to see the glory of God. Up close and personal. But here I am, and I'm dressed up a lot fancier than a shepherd. And when I get home, I'll climb into a comfortable bed with a firm mattress. And I wonder if I had been in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, would I have gone out of my way to be a part of that strange and wonderful story? Or would I have gone about my own business and missed the good news? The good news that God has become one of us. The good news that a Savior has been born, who is none other than the Christ, the longed for one, the Lord. There were lots of people who missed it that night. The Roman emperor, the most powerful person on earth, Augustus Caesar, missed it. The big shot governor missed it. The religious leaders in Jerusalem missed out, as did most of the people who went about their business that night. And you know this, many still miss it, on this night even. Sometimes I miss it in the business of getting ready for a service or just going about my life. I miss it. We all miss it. But I think we want to be part of the story. And if you want to be a part of the story tonight, you are in the right place. The angel said the good news is not just for the mighty and the rich and the powerful, or just for the poor and the powerless. It's for everyone. It's for all people, the angel said. The good news that a Savior has been born, the good news that God is with us and for us, that good news is for everyone. All of us, and that's the beauty of this night, all of us can be part of the great story of God's loving purposes for this world. And what Luke underscores in this version of Jesus' birth is both startling and comforting at the same time. And while it sounds completely counter to what our culture tells us, I believe that deep down all of us know this is true. Our government cannot save us from hatred, despair, and self-destruction. Republicans, Democrats, Wall Street cannot save us. Our possessions, our education, our sophistication, our fancy robes, those things can't save us. Sisters and brothers, if politicians and education and money could save us, we would have figured out a long time ago how to love and care for one another in this world we live in, a long time ago. The Christmas message is that only the love brought into the world and that child, that little baby, in whom the fullness of God's love dwells, only that little child, only that love can save us. What God has done for us in Jesus is at the heart of the Christmas story. Love, the love of God, is the central character in God's story. And the good news about God's story gets even better. Because the angel told the shepherds, "This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Now that's so simple, isn't it? Very ordinary. In fact, when you think about it, you've been in a stable, right? It's not the cleanest place in the world. It's dirty. And the place where they laid that newborn baby was probably not the nice little wooden manger we use tonight. But it was probably a makeshift pallet made of straw. But nevertheless, the angel said that would be a sign of God's love, a sign that God is with us. Today, the Archbishop of Canterbury wrote in his Christmas message, "The heart of Christmas is simply this, that God wanted to be with us." What we celebrate tonight is God saying, "There are no people that I refuse to love. No one." What we do here tonight is God saying, "There are no places I will not bless. This is God saying, whoever is outcast, whoever is marginalized, you will find me among those people. This is God saying, things don't have to be neat and tidy for me to love them. I doubt if many of us will see a vision of the heavenly chorus tonight. Well, unless you had a little something before you came here. And most of us, when we drive home, especially this time of year in Seattle, we probably will not see the bright, shining star in the east. But my brothers and sisters, God still gives us a sign that He is with us and for us. And God will do that again tonight. In just a simple and ordinary piece of bread and a little sip of wine. It is a sign of God's great love for us. A sign that God has come to save us, all of us. A sign that we, the Lucys, the Charlie Browns, and yes, even the Grinch and the Elf on the Shelf, all of us are part of God's story. Merry Christmas. Amen.